The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Wednesday, May 20, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Coming up, Christopher Gnocchi, the original Coach K on the Victor Wemby. The Victor Wemby phenomenon, which blew up on Monday night. We'll get to him in just a second. But first, let's go through the news, shall we? Headline, Chiefs Rashee Rice violates parole, ordered to jail. Here, this is my shocked face. What? Bag of shit keeps doing bag of shit things. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice has been sentenced to serve 30 days in jail after testing positive for marijuana in violation of his terms of his probation for his role in a crash that left multiple people injured on a Dallas highway 2 years ago. Mr. Rice was taken into custody in the 194th Judicial Court of Texas for testing positive for THC in order to serve the and ordered to serve the 30 days he had previously been allowed to defer pending his compliance with his probation. As you will remember, in March of 24, Rice was the driver of a Lamborghini Urus SUV that was going 119 miles per hour on Dallas's North Central Expressway. 119. Even if you don't actually hit anybody, a car going 119 pretty much violates all of the normal flow of traffic. So somebody will be just calmly getting ready to do a lane change, put their blinker on, and then meow! It led to a multi-car crash that left people injured. While one of Rice's teammates at SMU in another vehicle who was driving a black Corvette, they were street racing at the time. After the crash, the three friends did not check on any of the injured. They instead fled on foot. Before police arrived, the incident was captured on video, of course, because everyone still has cell phones with cameras on them. He pled guilty in district court to 2 third-degree felony charges, collision involving serious bodily injury and racing on a highway causing bodily injury, and got deferred adjudication along with 5 years probation. He also was hit with a 6-game suspension by the NFL. He's missed several parts of seasons now due to injury, And this, now he's back in jail because he's a bag of shit. He was also named in a lawsuit by a woman who alleged that Rice repeatedly assaulted her during an 18-month span, including choking her in December of 2023. The NFL investigated, closed the investigation, saying there was insufficient evidence to support a finding that he violated the personal conduct policy, which could have been the case because we saw just how much of a lying bitch that, you know, woman was, the chef for Stephon Diggs. But given the fact that Rashee Rice has, you know, other factors here, nothing would shock me at this point. Nothing. Meanwhile, it is getting to the point in the NFL where these players are so famous, so well paid, that they're running out of things to bitch about. But don't worry, they will still find something and try something. Jackson Smith and Jigba received his Offensive Player of the Year trophy from the NFL Honor Show in the mail. But there was a problem. The plaque says Defensive Player of the Year. And instead of just laughing at it and saying, looks like I'm going to have to file a return with the league, he actually got kind of pissy about it and said, it's getting disrespectful. He also implied that there was a typo because the year did not have enough of a space in where it was engraved. Okay. Brian McCarthy of the NFL, their spokesman, said, the league made the mistake. We sincerely apologize to Jackson for the error and are in the process of creating and shipping him a new trophy. I mean, really? Hell, they spelled his name correctly. That should be the biggest win right there. I'm guessing Fanatics was in charge of the MVP trophies as well. Blame Fanatics when all else fails. Keep politics out of sports. Yeah, good luck with that. Headline, NCAA urging athletes and fans to boycott over voting rights issues. The NAACP is calling out black athletes and fan bases to boycott the athletic programs of public universities in states that are taking steps that the nation's oldest civil rights group, the NAACP, says are restricting black voting rights. Yes, it's the whole gerrymandering thing and the recent Supreme Court decision that narrowed a key provision of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Whatever happened to, hey, it's the Supreme Court, it's the law of the land, it's their interpretation, we are going to respect it and move forward? I guess not. Launched on Tuesday, the Out of Bounds campaign urges prospective black athletes, their families, and the alumni to withhold athletic and financial support from major public universities and states that have moved to limit, weaken, or erase black voting representation. I know you're going to say, so wait, what states are these? Ready? Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and South Carolina. Good luck convincing athletes to not go to Alabama or Texas or Georgia or Florida or LSU. Good luck on that. In the English, not Premier League, but the English Football League, the EFL, I guess that's a lower league than the EPL. I don't know English soccer very well. Southampton have been kicked out of the championship playoff final after being found guilty of spying on multiple opponents during the 25-26 season. Where was Connor Stallions during their season? The EFL originally charged Southampton with spying on Middlesbrough ahead of the first leg of their playoff semis, but further charges were leveled after a May 17th in relation to additional breaches during the 25-26 season corresponded to their fixture against Oxford United in December of 25 and Ipswich in April of 26. Southampton admitted to breaches of the regulations requiring clubs to act with the utmost good faith and prohibiting the observation of another club's training session within 72 hours of a scheduled match. So even though soccer teams don't run specific plays like football teams, where you go, oh, I saw that flea flicker, let's be on the lookout for it. Soccer is a flowing game, obviously, where they may have certain things they want to run. There could be actually corner kicks or free kicks there that they practice. But the spying, it's always the spying. There's a picture of the fans of Southampton mocking allegations of spying, wearing sniper ghillie suits and having binoculars, and they're having a good laugh, like, ah, yeah, you're blaming us for cheating. Huh? Well, now you're out of the playoffs. So there you go. Bloomberg reports that LIV Golf has begun, quote, laying the groundwork to potentially file for bankruptcy in the U.S. at the conclusion of the 2026 season. Quote, they are preparing for the league's collapse when the season ends in late August as a possible outcome. Oh, I'm sure they are. It is going to be a spectacular unraveling with lots and lots of lawyers and layers to it if Scott O'Neill cannot keep the ship from sinking. And good luck suing the Saudi PIF fund for your money, because I believe you're going to have to face a court that is even more hostile than the court that Brendan Sorsby is going to get greenlit through. We'll talk about that with Naki in just a second. Stuart Mandel tweets about the Big Ten having meetings in which they're going to discuss D1 sports and the, quote, unsustainable spending that will be that is threatening to engulf universities and the sport itself. They are wondering, will we soon have an $80 to $90 million football roster in 2 years? Well, why not? It's already up to $40 million estimated for some of the bigger programs this year. So it makes sense that it would just go to 80 or 90 if given unchecked freedom to do so. Where are they having this get-together for Big Ten officials to talk about unsustainable spending? Why, that would be the wonderful Tirania Resort in Palos Verdes, California. Spectacular on the seaside. The room rates for June soar into the $1,300 a night range. Not good optics. Brian Flores has subpoenaed 25 additional NFL teams as part of his still-going and long-running discrimination lawsuit against the NFL. The move brings nearly the entire league now into Flores's case over alleged racist hiring practices. My God, what a giant waste of money. You know what? The league is not racist against black coaches. There's plenty of them. There'll be plenty more. You were a dick who didn't play your cards right in Miami. And now you're a coordinator, very good coordinator for the Vikings, but this suing shit, not doing anyone any favors. The house guest that wouldn't leave. Clark County has formally approved a resolution that recognizes the Formula One Grand Prix as an annual event in Vegas through 2037. It effectively locks the race in on the Vegas Strip for the next dozen years. This is something that disrupts the Strip itself for 2 months leading up to the race because of all the work that has to be done to put up the grandstands and the barriers and whatnot for at least a month afterwards during the otherwise wonderful fall season. The smaller businesses hate it. The casinos that are not host to the whales who come in from out of town see their room rates actually crater, not go up. But guess what? Big money has the loudest voice, and they're the ones who have won this. And so once they started building out the permanent paddocks, you knew this thing was going to stay. Albert Breer tweets something depressing, and that is NFL's executive VP Peter O'Reilly announced that owners voted through a measure to increase the cap on international games from 8 to 10 in 2027. And that does not even include the Jags game at Wembley, so we could have as many as 11 international games next year. But wait, it gets worse. The NFL is also eliminating teams' ability to protect games against specific home opponents from being played abroad. Until now, teams could protect two home games each year. So if you are the Steelers and Ravens, you might lose that home game overseas. If you are the Chiefs and the Raiders, if you are the Cowboys and the Commanders, or if, gasp, you are the Packers and the Bears, in theory, one of those precious home games against your most hated rival could be shipped overseas, and you will have no recourse against it. Like I've said, the enshittification of things we love continues unabated. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to our friend Chris Nocke about the Wemby sensation. You are listening to the Zabecast. Let's talk casino for a second. MyBookie.ag has a full Las Vegas-style casino right on your phone. Blackjack, roulette, craps, slots, video poker, all of it. No flight, no parking, no guy next to you who hasn't showered since Thursday. And they have live dealer games. Real humans on camera dealing cards and spinning wheels in real time. You can watch the shuffle. It's not some random number generator. It's an actual person running an actual table, and you're sitting at it from your couch. New players get $25 in casino credit automatically with promo code ZABE just for making a deposit. Free money to try it on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Welcome back. In light of Victor Wembanyama's unbelievable night, I figured I'd call the one guy who might have some clue as to just what the fuck is the league dealing with for the next 10 years. Hey, it's Coach Nocke joining us on the pod. How are we doing today, my friend?
Well, all good, man. All good in the Berg. It's a beautiful day. A little warm, but let's go.
In the Berg? What are you, in Pittsburgh?
Nah, man. I'm here in town. I'm local.
Okay. I don't even know what the league is going to do about Wemby at this point. Am I right about that? Like, seriously. That three last night, I asked myself, so should you even guard him on threes? Because you're not going to block his threes. So what's the point exactly?
I mean, Zabe, you could catalog the stuff he pulled off in that game last night in just in disbelief. Some of the dunks he had over top of people and in traffic, you know, with defenders. That is a really, really good defensive team. He just torched last night.
Right.
And it looked kind of comical. I know Caruso is a very good defender, and he single-handedly kept them in the game for much of the night. But that's not a good matchup. You got to find somebody with some size, more size to put on him. But who's got that kind of length? It's absurd good he is and how young he is.
All right, so I have from CBS Sports the top five most jaw-dropping plays from Wemby's double overtime masterpiece. You want to hear them? They actually did this. You're like, I don't even know how you count all the things he did in the game. They did.
CBS
Sports. Okay, number five is the block on Jalen Williams and his putback attempt. Why was that so impressive?
No, just the length. Jalen Williams is a all-star, you know?
I know.
6'8" monster, and again, these guys look like toys against him with the length and athleticism he has.
Also, the timing to catch it so clean like that, you know, the quick ability to jump up there. Next was the driving dunk to set the tone in double overtime.
Everyone was
gassed at that point, and he decides, okay, we need to put a charge in this, goes down the lane and throws it down. Then he had the might have been game winner. That was the one at regulation where he worked hard for the shot, then finally caught it, hit a fadeaway around the top of the key. The second best one was putting Chet Holmgren on a poster. Apparently, Wemby and Chet don't like each other. I don't know where this comes from.
Well, I know why Chet doesn't like Wemby is because Wemby wets on him when they play each other.
Right.
It is the incredible disappearing Chet.
Yeah. And then the number one was the three-pointer from Steph Curry range, down three. It was listed as a 27-footer. It seemed like it was longer than that.
You know, with the drama of that shot, Zabe, it reminded me of Curry in the Olympics, you know, and, you know, just how, like, I'll never forget watching those shots in that game and when they came. And I don't think I'll ever forget Wemby pulling up. And it seemed like it was a lot further out than 27 feet to me.
All right. So here's the question. And that is, was it that big men back in the day couldn't shoot because they never tried to shoot? Or was it that they didn't need to shoot because they were all playing close to the basket?
Yeah, I mean, the game's evolved. The game used to be played inside out, where you would throw it into the bigs or you'd attack the basket. And then, you know, you're sort of like throwing body blows. And eventually that opens things up on the perimeter. Now, you know, people just cut to the chase. First of all, the metrics will tell you that, as we've talked about, Zabe, you know, 33% from three is a good number. And you're going to get to your desired result with, you know, 35%, 37%, something like that.
Right.
Quicker than if you're shooting, you know, a high percentage of twos. So that's a part of it. The game's just evolved. Bigs now, the kids who are bigs in high school, those guys are all shooting threes. It's just the game's evolved. People, players have changed. It's a completely different approach than, you know, the coaches used back in the day.
I mean, if you're a big man now, you better be able to shoot threes, right?
Well, you certainly have to have some range, you know, and that is a big part of it. Spacing the floor has become kind of the thing to do. And one of the things we saw, Zabe, in the round before this was when Wemby and the Spurs played Minnesota.
Yeah.
That was five on four, because Rudy Gobert gives you zero offense. That's a guy making a lot of money, and he is worthless in today's basketball. I mean, he's still a pretty good defender, a decent rebounder, but he hurts you more than he helps you. They got to deal him in the offseason.
Well, remember what the T-Wolves gave up for Gobert?
Yeah, sure did. The thinking has completely changed, and that literally was a 5-against-4 series. Unfair for Minnesota.
Here is the Gobert trade. You ready? Warm bodies in the form of Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Leandro Bulmaro, Jared Vanderbilt, and Walker Kessler. Then, on top of that, a first-round pick in 2023, a first-round pick in 2025, a 2026 first-round pick swap. Okay, you're done now, right? That's it? No, there's more. A 2027 first-round pick and a 2029 first-round pick. What the hell?
And you know what? I mean, they would be in way better shape if they just kept Walker Kessler. He's a nice player, you know? So, that might go down as one of the two or three worst trades, not just in the NBA. How about in professional sports history? That's just terrible.
Yeah, it's hard to believe why they would do that. But anyway, so Wemby can shoot threes, and he shoots them like he's a natural-born guard, and the range on him goes way out, well beyond 23 feet 9 inches. I almost feel like today a lot of good shooters, Naki, it doesn't matter if they're at 24 feet or 30 feet. It's fine either way because they've got the same basic touch from either distance.
Yeah, they're not toeing up to the line anymore at all. And when I watch Wemby play Tuesday, I give massive credit to sort of that European club mentality where, you know, it used to be here, like in the States. When I played in college, you'd go guards on one end, bigs on the other. The guards would shoot perimeter shots. The bigs would work on back-to-the-basket moves, and you sort of separate the two. They don't ever do that in places like France and places overseas. The clubs, you know, they work on your all-court game over there. And Wemby has it in, she handles the ball like a guard.
Yeah.
Defends way better As good as he is offensively, we've talked about the 41 and 24. What he does defensively, you know, like that block on Williams, just sort of part of that. He's just such an obstacle. Yeah. And that's why guys like Chet are struggling, man. There's not many guys that defend the rim like that guy does.
So how big do you think Wemby will get pop culture wise? Because he's not American. Now, he's incredibly intelligent, speaks several languages. He's very smart. But it's like we have a bias in this country. We want American stars. And by the way, do you know the last American MVP in the NBA?
It has been a while. Who is that?
James Harden in 2016. Uh-huh. And the last American to receive a single first place vote was Cade Cunningham, and somebody believes it was a Pistons beat reporter. So this is not a good indictment on the American AAU system now, is it?
It's terrible. But I will say this, in terms of the the splash as a personality and as an athlete, the NBA is really gone global here. The United States market is just a part of the pursuit to me for the NBA. They've done a great job marketing overseas, which is why there's been such an influx of great foreign talent, is because the NBA has exported the game.
Yeah.
And done a great job in exporting it. So I think he will be a phenomenon globally without necessarily being one here. If that's possible. He's larger than life. He's just an incredible force of nature on the court.
Yeah. You and I are old enough to remember the very first McDonald's Open basketball game in Europe in 1988. It was the Celtics against Spanish club Real Madrid. And it was like this historic thing where they're exporting the NBA overseas. Now, holy shit, look at what's happened.
Well, Zabe, think about this. You know, that was Larry Bird and the Celtics. So there's a certain mythology that goes along with those guys. And then right on the heels of that were the Barcelona Olympics,
right?
92.
Dream
the
team.
Dream team. So yeah. So you had those events. And if you've watched the docs on that Dream Team and just the crowds that they drew for – you know, on the bus, which is nuts. And so, we exported it. We did a hell of a job with it.
Too good of a job, as a matter of fact. All right. Yeah. Are you down with that, with SGA as a player and down with the Thunder overall as a team? Because a lot of chatter about SGA flops too much and the Thunder get way too many calls and don't get called enough for the way they defend very physically.
Yeah. So, I'm of two minds on that. First of all, there's no way you can like the flopping. I mean, that's just it's tough to watch, and it's sort of symptomatic of what dogs the NBA, I think. But I do love the way they defend, and more than that, Zabe, I like the way they play. I like the fact they share it, they shoot the shit out of it. They got a lot of guys and a lot of weapons. I don't know that they'll win this series because the Spurs look a little bit more athletic and a lot hungrier right now. But OKC is going to come back in this. They'll win a couple of, you know, they're not going to die easily here or quietly. I do like OKC. I just am not a fan at all of the flopping. I think, and I can separate the two.
Yeah. All right. Tonight, Knicks and Cavs game one. People have said that Jalen Brunson's too small. Some have said he's too small to be a superstar. Really good player, can hit clutch shots, but not a superstar, too small. They haven't had to use him as a, oh, shit, save us the game and hit this shot because the Knicks have been blowing everyone's doors off so far. Where do you stand on Brunson?
Yeah, so this series feels like a third place, like a consolation game already, you know? Yeah. My comp for him, and you're not supposed to do white guys with black guys, right?
No,
but my comp for him is actually Steve Nash. And I'll tell you Nash won two MVPs. They don't play similarly. Brunson is a much better natural scorer, but I think size-wise, their impact on the game, I think you can be a superstar at that size. I mean, I think Brunson is. I think he is the reason why they are where they are. Ananobi has been hurt. You know, he was a big part of what they had going on in that first series. I think Brunson is there. And that is a great trade too. When they got him from, when they picked him up from the Mavs, you know, or was he a free agent? I can't remember if he was a free agent or not. But that's a pickup, man. And he's a baller. He gets his shot off over anybody all the time.
Unrestricted free agent for Brunson, and they got him for relatively cheap—a 4-year, $104 million contract. So. Just $25 million a year for a guy who's punching at a weight of a $50 million a year player.
Yeah. He looks to me, Tuesday, like a great teammate. You know, he'll make the extra pass. He's unselfish. And I think he will make – he does make and take and make big shots. I'm a big fan. I'm not a Knick guy. I'm not a New York sports guy, but I'm a Brunson fan.
Yeah. He was with the Mavs, and Mavericks did not want to offer him – a rookie extension. Brunson was willing to sign a team-friendly deal, about $55 million early in the season, but Dallas held off to save cap space. Next thing you know, he was going to the Knicks. And this was back when Cuban owned the team, who supposedly is big basketball junkie. Good move, Dumbass.
Well, I think he was a sixth man in Dallas. I don't think he was, he got a lot of run.
Yeah.
But I think he wanted out. Because when you think about the math of the salary, I mean, again, no state tax down there in Dallas. So even if Dallas was offering 75% of what New York was, maybe he just wanted to change the scenery. I don't remember.
Too long ago. All right. I got a NCAA thing for you, even though it's not basketball. You know how the NCAA is. It's, they are nobody's favorite entity. However, someone has to keep the fucking rules of how we're doing all this. And they're the ones at least nominally in charge of keeping the rules. This Brendan Sorsby story is bonkers. Former quarterback, backup, red shirt at Indiana, transferred to Texas Tech. Texas Tech is all excited because they're now relevant football-wise. They're spending a shit ton of money. They were in the college football playoff last year. They get Sorsby, who's a really hot guy and is going to play for them this year, or at least they hoped, paid him a lot of money. But then they found out, oh, shit, he was gambling. He was gambling not just on his own team, Indiana, but he was gambling on everything. According to this latest document filed against the NCAA, he's suing the NCAA to get his playing rights back. And amongst the things he is saying is he bet on Indiana so he could feel a kinship and like he was bought in with the team, even though he was only a redshirt. Come on, man.
Well, Zay, there's so many parts of this. First of all, he hired an attorney to expedite the process. He wants to know as soon as possible what's going to happen. Should he enter the supplemental draft? Will he be allowed to come back? You know, when you file in Lubbock, generally speaking, that judge probably is a season ticket holder.
I think I saw a picture of a judge literally with the Texas Tech mascot. Doing the guns up sign. I'm not kidding.
This is when you do your impression, Zabe,
While certainly a bit troubling that this young man has been willing to wager on various things, while we can't deprive him of the chance to play football. Well, the attorneys for Sorsby have said in their filing that he has a certified mental health issue, which means he has a gambling addiction, and that denying him the chance to play will irreparably harm his mental health, and that is somehow a civil rights issue. I mean, I have no doubt, Naki, that he's going to end up forcing his way to be able to play. I don't think the NCAA can win this, and it's just...
You gave me the James Harden factoid, right? Of the 2016 MVP, the last American.
Yeah.
You tell me when the last time was the NCAA won a court case.
Basically nothing.
They're like, they're Trump-like. I mean, they're 0-50, man. And I don't know that they're going to win this because of the way the way they're going, the way Sorsby and the attorneys are going out, you know, after this. And there's a shitload on the line. That kid is scheduled, That guy is scheduled to make $6 million in NIL money.
Yeah.
$6 million. So I completely understand the case. I understand why he's doing this. And I understand his standing. And I tell you what, Zay, I totally agree with you. That guy's going to play next year. He's going to take a lot of shit on the field, but I think he's going to play.
Right. The judge in State District Judge Philip Hayes in Lubbock County, Texas, is both a Lubbock native and a two-time graduate of, you want to guess? I'll give you one guess. Texas Tech University, earning both his undergraduate and law degrees there.
Yeah. Here comes your injunction right now.
Yeah. Now, Sorsby was gambling on everything. Did you see the list of stuff he would put money
on?
Yeah,
I did.
Unbelievable. Turkish basketball leagues, Romanian soccer matches, doubles tennis, even the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
You had me at doubles tennis. Like, who gambles on doubles tennis?
I mean, if you don't have Kobayashi minus 12,000 in the Nathans, what are you even doing? You're just going to lose money. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens. All right, last thing from you, because I know you've trapped in these circuits. There may be still time for parents to sign their kids up for summer basketball camp, wherever it may be, in whatever state, whatever level. What would you recommend for a parent listening right now who's considering, do I put my kid in summer basketball camp?
Yeah, I think it's a great endeavor. I think, you know, it gets kids off their phones. It has them active all day long. And in terms of what I would look for, Zed, I'm looking for the best possible facility. You're gonna pay, you know, in a range of X to Y in terms of the cost of these camps. You want to make sure you're getting a facility that's, you know, largely indoors, minimizes outdoor games.
Largely, you know, indoors? They have outdoor basketball
games? Oh, absolutely. I grew up and played at camps. Now, this is a long time ago, but I also coached at camps where you know, like at certain high schools, you've only got one gym, one large gym, maybe one small gym. So you do have to use outdoor courts and periodically. Shit. I know county, Fairfax County and Arlington County, they will run basketball camps, and they are largely outdoors. So you want to make sure, and that's summertime.
That's love of the game right there. That is sweating it out.
And, well, that's also parents want daycare is what it is.
Well, right. And if you don't have a lot of money, you go to the outdoor basketball camp. I still remember the musty, dusty, hot McLean High School gymnasium smell. I can smell it right now as I close my eyes, which is where I went to a couple summers of basketball camp as a kid. Great memories, though, for sure. You would hate doing all the drills. You would just want them to finally get to the, okay, we're going to play a game now.
You know, Zabe, I grew up, I went to Woodson High School in Fairfax, and I played in that gym virtually every day
for four years
when I was in high school. So it's funny, I did so much camp work that I got guys stopping me on the streets in D.C. that say to me, dude, you were my camp counselor when I was 8 years old. And I would say, you look so fucking old. There's no way.
There's no way. I don't look this old.
Yeah, because I don't look like you. At least in my own mind.
Right.
But, it's crazy the connections and the people who've come up to me now after 40, 50 years after the fact and say, I remember you teaching me at basketball camp.
All right. All right, Naki. Good to connect with you as always. Stay frosty and we'll chat again soon.
All right, Hoss. Good talking to you.
There you go. See you. Chris Naki, former American University head basketball coach, currently the color analyst for University of Maryland men's basketball. End on a couple of emails Thank you for the feedback, zabe@yahoo.com. You can reach me. I do read them all. I respond to most. Some get washed down the river. Some are being deposited in my spam folder for reasons unknown to me, and I have to go back in there and I dig them out. And by the time I do, the moment has often passed. So just be aware of that if you're saying to yourself, man, what the hell, man? I emailed you something really thoughtful and you did not respond. That could be the case. This email from Jeremy Spooner. Zabe, I got a case for SGA, cue the crusty groan, but for real, I'm a 46-year-old dude. Look me up, Zabe. We've been engaging for years. And while I agree that MJ is the best ever, absolutely punching out quality teammates for the thought of something like load management, and yes, SGA is still the anti-Jordan superstar, yet flopper, moper, disinterested as soon as his team is down kind of guy, I realized something tonight. And you know what? Your boy Solly would say, hate the athlete, not the game. Actually, Solly hates the athletes. It's the opposite. Solly does say, hate the athlete, not the game. Stu Scott said, hate the game, don't hate the player. But I think SGA, says Jeremy Spooner, is a perfect example of what we are doing wrong as parents and a society. He's a small dude on a court of massive men, and he's been conditioned to express his disadvantage and encouraged to exploit it by flopping. Most likely from the time he was a talented toddler with a wicked crossover and for sure a great jump shot, at least when uncontested. He got hyped to the moon and cocooned by the adults in his inner circle. It was a recipe for a rocket ship to the NBA. But literally, don't hate the player, hate the game that enabled him to get there. So yes, the shitification and the end shitification ensues, and we all gripe and moan, yet we clap Indian style in front of the TV every postseason, regardless of sport. Interesting. He's not that small, but maybe there's some of that in there. I just, again, to me, my flopping rule, my anti-flopping killer would be if you go to the ground, it's not a foul. They will literally stop the game and go, oh, you fell down though. So that was not a foul. But I got hacked on the arm. Okay. Well, don't fall down because that will then disqualify the foul call. That then eliminates the falling down as a way to trick the refs. The refs fall for the falling down every time. Jeremy says, I'm going to leave you though on a positive note. There is a contingent of us that do care about the things that matter in life. And sometimes the only thing that matters is a constant voice that mostly aligns, sometimes cringes, but mostly aligns and always makes a person say, huh, which is the kindling this world needs to dig deeper into the issues that are not fully understood, but are still truly important. Thank you, my friend, for being that voice. You subtly strike that flint every day. You are impactful and appreciated. Sincerely, Jeremy Spooner. Jeremy, thank you very much for that. I think on such a wonderful note, I'm going to keep doing the podcast, at least another one tomorrow. Because you don't have a job otherwise. Hey, I'm working on it. Maybe. Thanks for listening. Rate and review. Spread the word. Tell a friend. If you want to subscribe and help support the whole podcast endeavor, a mere $5 a month. Come on. Haven't raised the price since I started it damn near 8 years ago. Just go to zabe.com/premium, and I appreciate your support. Have yourself a crackerjack Wednesday, or have any kind of Wednesday you want. I'm not here to micromanage your life. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. All I could taste is this moment, all I can breathe is your life. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.